Sister Connie, appreciate that song this morning. One quick thing about Vacation Bible School that I wanted to share was I appreciate each class person that took their classes. Michelle and Lindsay had the animal pals. They had the cool class that got to talk about all the animals and what the characteristics of them were and all of those things. And we had great fun in there. Lindsay needs to keep her job as a nurse, a comedian, not so much. She had some jokes each day that went along with the animals. Yeah, but we had fun anyway. And Brother Steve, he's our mad scientist guy. He had a science experiment every day, and I learned a lot about the experiments that he did and how they operated. And what I was really amazed at is how much our children knew about the projects that he was doing. And they knew way more about it than I did. And Sister Lisa had the music class, and she had all these strange instruments in there. And the kids couldn't wait to get their hands on those all week long. And Heather, she was responsible for the Mystery Island scavenger hunt. And I think the kids enjoyed that as well. So each class that we had, I think the kids had a good time, and I appreciate the effort each one of the teachers of those classes put in. This morning, as we get into the Word of God, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Romans, the first chapter. If you remember, last week I took my text from Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. This week I want to go back to that chapter, and I'm going to take a reading from the first chapter of Romans, and I'm going to begin my reading in the 14th verse in just a minute. But before I do that, I want to just share where we're at here. The Apostle Paul begins this chapter, I guess you could say, by giving his credentials or by giving his resume to them, if you will, or who he was. And he began by telling us that he was a servant of Jesus Christ, that he was called. He didn't make the decision to do it on his own, but he was called to be an apostle, and he was separated unto the gospel of God. And he went on to talk about how that God's word is sure, and that the things that he shared with them were things that have been taught long before he began to share these things. And in verse 3, he said he spoke about things concerning his son. Whose son? God's son. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And then he went on to say, this is in a capsule. This is what I'm going to be telling you about. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And then my reading, let's go to the 14th verse. Paul begins to talk a little bit about himself here, and he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And I'm going to stop my scripture reading there, but I want to take a text verse from Matthew chapter 24. Most of you who have been in the faith, when you hear Matthew 24, it probably brings to mind that chapter. It's one that is often referred to because in that chapter, Jesus was talking about the conditions of end times. And he was talking about how that there would, in the last days, that there would be wars and rumors of wars. He talked about how that there would be famine and how that there would be pestilence. And he talked about how there would be earthquakes. And a lot of that reminds us of what our Sunday school lesson was today, and about Moses trying to get Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go and the plagues that were upon them. But in the 14th verse of that 24th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. My thought for a few moments this morning is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. You know, the Apostle Paul in our reading here, He considered himself to be a debtor. He considered himself to be in debt to everyone. In that 14th verse, he said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Do you wonder what Paul's debt was? He says, I'm a debter. I'm indebted to these. You think about what his debt was. And I believe after his salvation experience, and you can refresh yourself in Acts chapter 9 about his experience of salvation as he was on the road to Damascus there. But his whole life, as a result of that, was consumed with spreading the good news. It was consumed with spreading the gospel message. It was consumed with telling people about salvation. And his debt, it was to Jesus Christ. That's who he owed his debt to, because he became his Savior. And he was, and his debt was payable to the entire world as he was being obedient to what the Lord had called him to do. Paul was in debt because he received the gospel, because he responded to the gospel, because he was saved as a result of the gospel. So he was settling, or he was satisfying his debt, if you will, by preaching the gospel of salvation to everyone. Race didn't matter to him. Nationality did not matter to him. Social status did not matter to him. Economic boundaries did not matter to him. Brothers and sisters, as I preached Sunday, last Sunday, if you'll recall, I said that Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. And listen, we owe Jesus a debt. Just like the apostle Paul owed a debt. We owe a debt to the Lord because he took on the punishment for our sins that we deserved. We deserve that, but Jesus interceded for us. He became our atonement. He became our propitiation for our sins that we deserved. And although we cannot repay him for all that he has done, listen, we can demonstrate our gratitude. And we can demonstrate our love to the Lord by sharing and telling others about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do that by our deeds. We can do that through our witness. We can do that through our testimony. I wonder today, you know, as I talk to people all the time, some people says, well, you know, I can't do that. I'm too shy. Or you know, I'm just too timid. I'm apprehensive about sharing the love, or I'm apprehensive about sharing the good news of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to just realize, we don't have to be. We don't have to be shy. We don't have to be timid. You know, we don't have to be apprehensive about the good news, about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you why this morning. We have the same driving force behind us that the Apostle Paul had behind him. The same driving force. You know what that was, right? The driving force was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the driving force in the Apostle Paul's life. He said, so. He said, as much as is in me, I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul wanted to take all that was in him, and he wanted to pour it into people. All the energy, all the effort that he had, all the truth, all the knowledge of the gospel that he had, he wanted to share that with others. And as you read about him and you study the life of Paul, you'll come to the realization that there was nothing that could keep him from sharing the gospel, not if he had a chance to share it. And I don't have to go into all the things, but you know the persecution that Paul faced. You know how they stoned him. You know that they, of all the things, the shipwreck and all the things that he went through as he tried to fulfill his calling of the Lord, and there wasn't going to be anything that was going to stand in his way. Why? Because he wasn't going to allow any hindrances in his life to affect his message. And he was possessed, if you will, or he was obsessed, maybe is a better word, but he was obsessed with a readiness at all times to be able to preach the glorious message of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people that were round about him. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, that should be our goal as well. That should be our goal as we think about the conditions of the last age, as Matthew 24 talks about. It should bring to our mind and our realization that, listen, this thing doesn't end well for this world. I don't know when it is. I can't make any predictions because I don't know. But one day the Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming back again. And when he does, he is going to be coming to gather together his own. His own are those that have been saved by grace through faith. And he's going to be taking them with him to a place that he has prepared for them. But he'll also be bringing wrath and righteous judgment to those that have refused the message and have rejected the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is an urgency, brothers and sisters, for it to be our goal as well to talk to people about Jesus. I love when I hear my members tell me that they went to the dollar store, I think it was, right, Brother Steve? And the clerk there was so helpful and so attentive to what Brother Steve's needs were. And Brother Steve complimented him for what a good job he did. He could have just left there and left from there and said, okay, it's been a great experience. But he said, he went a step further and he said, do you go to church anywhere? And the young man said, no, I don't go to church anywhere. Brother Steve just said, well, if you ever decide that you want to go to church, or if you have a desire to come to church or just want to check it out, I go to a good church. And he told him the name of the church, and he told him where we were located. And he said, if you ever decide to go, come and visit with us. You'll be welcome. That's how simple it is sometimes, brothers and sisters. It's just seizing an opportunity that's there and saying, hey, I know Jesus. I'm a Christian. I want you to know him. And if you don't have a place you're going to, come be with us. I forget who it was. Brother Jim ran into a situation with somebody who approached him and was telling about their church. Brother Jim appreciated that. That's what we all should be doing. And Jim told him that. He said, I appreciate what you're doing, but he said, I already go to a good church. And they said, well, if you ever decide to leave there, or you got to go somewhere else, come see us. Now, we're not trying to steal somebody else's members. What we're trying to do is get those that don't know the Lord Jesus to come to know him and get in a church and begin to grow and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that we've got the same driving force behind us that the Apostle Paul was. And, you know, he gives us the example and he tells us, you know what? He was not ashamed of the gospel. How do you know, preacher? Because he said so. I read it to you a few moments ago. In verse 16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel? We keep talking about the good news, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to know what the gospel is. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 3, as he was talking to the Corinthians there, he said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. So what is he telling them about? He's telling them about the same thing that has been going on from the beginning of time about the gospel message. And he began to tell them, I'm going to tell you exactly what was told to me that I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It's all right here, the whole thing. You can learn about it, you can know about it, and you can be prepared to share it with somebody else. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. The gospel message, or the good news, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again, according to the scriptures. Brothers and sisters, this is our doctrinal belief. This right here is the foundation of our faith that's built upon the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should not be ashamed to share this good news. It's good news. It was good news when I heard it, and I repented of my sins, and that burden left me. And I had the assurance of peace here, now, eternally, spiritually. It was good news. We should not be ashamed to share the good news. Too many Christians appear to be ashamed of the gospel, appear to to be ashamed to tell others of Jesus and his love. Ashamed to seize the opportunities that are available to witness. How can we be ashamed of Jesus when he endured our shame on the cross of Calvary? We all have to ask ourselves the question, are you ashamed to share your faith with lost people? Verse 16 told us that Paul was amazed. He was amazed at the power of the gospel. He said, "For it is the power of God unto salvation." Think about what the gospel accomplishes. Just think for a minute about what the gospel accomplishes. It saves souls from death and eternal destruction in hell and eternal separation from God. Think about what I said last week from Romans 6 and 23. We talked about the wages of sin, but the other part of that verse was the gift of God. What is it? It's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wonderful blessing it is to know that the gospel offers hope to those that are lost. The gospel brings about this new birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Salvation brings about through the gospel this new birth. And listen, when we receive this new birth with a repentant heart of faith, the result of the gospel makes all things new unto those of us that have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about what Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17. He said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new." In salvation, we're changed. We're not changed from the outside inward. We're changed from the inside outward. What transpires takes place on the inside of man, and we demonstrate it, or we illuminate it on the outside by showing the world what the Lord has done for us. The Holy Spirit, it gives us this new life. And listen, we are not the same anymore. If you're the same after being saved as you was before you were saved, something's wrong. Because when the Lord saves us, he changes us. And we're not the same anymore. We're a new creation, living in a special relationship, in a special union with God the Father through Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Spirit. The gospel is special. It's special. The gospel prospers when human wisdom fails. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, he said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Humanity is placed in one of two categories. One is you're either perishing or you're saved. Perishing or saved. Which is it for you this morning? Are you perishing or are you saved? Listen this morning, as I've already said, this gospel is powerful. It's changing lives. It is bringing eternal life to the hearts of men. It's been doing that from its inception. Yesterday, today, and on in the future until the Lord Jesus Christ returns, that's what this gospel message does that's so powerful. It changes lives. Paul, he was astonished. He was overwhelmed at the availability, the accessibility of the gospel. Verse 16, he told us that, you know, it's available to everyone. The Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, Paul, he was a Jew. And originally, he thought that salvation must be only for the Jews. The scriptures tell us that he was a man that was proud of his heritage. In the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5, he identified himself as being a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a member of a very devout Jewish sect. And he's very honest that says he was a persecutor of Christians. He was a persecutor of the Lord's church. But we notice that God changed Paul's perspective about the gospel, and he changed Paul's perspective about salvation on that road to Damascus. The Lord, he got Paul's attention. He saved him. He called him into the ministry, and he gave him the responsibility to proclaim this powerful gospel. Paul wasn't full of himself. He was humbled by his experience. In fact, the scripture tells us exactly what he thought about himself. In fact, he thought himself to be the chief sinner of all sinners. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptations, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Throughout my life, I have heard men of God preach the word, and they want to debate Paul about this. They want to say that I am chief among sinners. Every child of God who's been saved by the grace of God may want to say, I was the chief of sinners. But it's not about us. It's about the one who came into the world to save sinners. About Jesus Christ. Kids, this verse of scripture said this is a faithful saying. What is a faithful saying? A faithful saying is a message that can be trusted. It's a message that's worthy of acceptance. In other words, we can believe it to be true. And he stated that the purpose of Jesus' coming into the world was to save sinners. As the Bible said, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he's long-suffering. That's why he's giving some more time. Paul, after being saved, he knew that the gospel, he knew that salvation, it was for all people. It was for the Jews. It was for the Gentiles. It was for the rich. It was for the poor. It didn't matter who they were. The gospel message was to go out to everyone. In fact, listen to what he wrote in Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever, we don't use that word much, but whosoever means anyone who believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't it wonderful to know that the same Lord over all is rich unto all that will call upon him? He's got a wonderful gift for all that will call upon him. Listen to what Paul was saying. He was saying that salvation is as close as your mouth and your heart. It's not a complicated process. God's offer of salvation never disappoints us. Jesus will never let us down. The scripture says that everyone who believes in him shall be saved. That's what verse 13 said. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Think about that. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, no one is excluded. Everyone is included that will come to the Lord. I'm going to close my message this morning with Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. It says, wherefore he, referring to Jesus, wherefore he is able to save them, the them is the unsaved, to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What does it mean that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost? You ever thought about that? To me, it means that he is able to save completely. It means that no one else, listen to this if you're unsaved, no one else can add anything to what Jesus did to save us. Why? Because there is no need. There is no reason for it. Jesus has paid the price for our sins once and for all. There's no need for anything else. We don't have to keep putting Christ up on the cross and taking him down. Putting him up on the cross. What he did at the cross of Calvary was sufficient for all of time. And people just need to put their faith and trust in what Jesus did on that cross. And they have to believe what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, where is Jesus now? The Scripture says that he's at the right hand of the Father today, right now. He's making intercession for those that seek this gift of salvation. He is our advocate. He is our mediator between God and man. And when burdened because of sin, you see, that's the first part in the process of being saved. If you ever want to be saved, you first have to realize that you're unsaved. You first have to realize that you're separated apart from God because of sin. How does that happen? It happens because of the preaching of God's word, the teachings of God's word, and the working of the Holy Spirit within the heart of the individual. And once that individual understands that they're separated apart from God, and once they understand that they're burdened with sin, then they can go to Jesus. How they can go to him with a repentant heart. They can confess of their sins, believe and trust in him, who he was, who Jesus was, and what Jesus Christ did on the cross. As I preached last Sunday, and the promise of God is that he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. If we are sincere, sinner friend, unsaved friend, if you are sincere in coming to the Lord with a repentant heart of faith, it says he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins, and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How? Well, 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's how it happens. Jesus Christ went to the cross, shed his blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Jesus fulfilled the requirement by giving his life as a substitution for our lives. He paid our sin debt. But as the Bible says, we can come to know him. If you're unsaved today, you can be cleansed today. The verse said the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from sin. You can be cleansed today because of the shed blood of Jesus for the atonement of your sins. But you see, Jesus says he'll do his part. He says if you'll come unto him, confessing, repenting, trusting, believing, and he sees the sincerity of your heart, he'll save you this very day. And you will leave here a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things becoming new. And you'll begin a wonderful journey of a wonderful relationship with a loving God. Now, I'll be honest with you. After that happens, there's some other things that happen after that. One, in obedience to the Lord, you need to join the Lord's church and be baptized. But after that, you need to grow. And you need to mature. And you need to learn about the Lord. You need to learn about his word. And then you need to understand that our place, our position in this world is to work for the Lord. It is to tell people about the power of the gospel and what it can do in their life. And see, the wonderful thing about that is, you know, it's hard to talk about something you don't know a lot about. You know, I remember when I was in the automotive aftermarket and I sold auto parts. And they had the great idea that we should put on emission control clinics to the mechanics and the service station repair guys. I didn't know nothing about that stuff. I got a slide projector with some slides. They gave me a script that I was supposed to pretty much memorize, so it looked like I knew something. And I was supposed to get up there, and I was supposed to tell these professionals that work on cars every day what to look for in the emission control system to help them to be able to repair cars. And inevitably, I would get in that situation. Thank goodness it wasn't long until I took a management position. I could make somebody else do it. But while I had to do it, what would happen was, inevitably, some guy out there would raise his hand and say, I got a question. And I'd say, sure, what is the question? I'm working on a car, and this is happening, and that's happening, and this happening. You know, I'm at my wit's end. What should I do? And I said, I'd pause for a minute and I'd say, well, let me first, has anybody else out there had this situation? Anybody else like to help this man out? Praying for somebody to say something. And too often, it was crickets in the room. Nobody wanted to say anything. And I'd always tell them, I don't know the answer to that. But there's a guy on our staff that's a mechanic who heads up this program. And I'll get with him and ask him the question and get back with you with an answer. Some of the other salesmen in our sales force, they were guys that never wanted to say, I don't know. So they would make up stuff. That doesn't go over too good. Where are you going with this, preacher? I'm coming back. I'm coming back. What I'm trying to say is, I didn't know anything about that. I couldn't talk about that. If they'd asked me about salvation, I could have told them exactly the process of salvation. Why? Because I personally experienced it. I had a firsthand knowledge of it. I understood what happened, and I knew what could happen to them too if they would do the same thing. And that's where we go, brothers and sisters, after we've been saved and, you know, we're a member of the Lord's church. That's what we're doing. We're telling the people that we come in contact with about our Jesus through the power of the gospel. Will, let's have a song. Let's have an invitation. The message is twofold. I always try to make the message twofold. The message to God's people and the message to anybody that might be amongst us that's lost.